What is cooking, everyone? It is Andrew here from the Apple Insider, HomeKit Insider podcast. As always, it is Stephen Robles, the iPhone 12, to me, the iPhone 12 Pro. How you doing, man?
Good. Wait. So I'm the iPhone 12, you're the 12 Pro?
Exactly.
Well, at least you didn't call me the Mini. That's fine. I'll go with that. You know, and now that you mentioned the iPhone, this has nothing to do with HomeKit, but you and I have a gentleman's bet on whether or not the iPhone will get USB-C one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like last week's keynote has put another nail in the coffin of that hope, because the fact that Apple is bringing MagSafe as like a first-party wireless charging solution, I feel like your theory that is going to go from lightning to nothing is probably more real.
I'm going to win.
I'm going to hold out still. Maybe the iPhone 13. Maybe.
No, it's MagSafe is going to be the future, it seems. I don't know. I know you, I'm sure, I know everyone's already talked about this. We're a week behind with the episode here. And I know you already did your special edition of the Apple Insider podcast regarding announcement. I was excited by all the phones. The Pro photo features on the Pro models are awesome. But I think MagSafe stole the show for me. That was one of the most exciting things to come to the iPhone. A whole new ecosystem of accessories, mounts, that was huge for me. So I was really excited about that.
Yeah, and I cannot wait to see the third-party ecosystem of MagSafe stuff. I mean, Belkin already announced their stuff. Apple mentioned the Belkin stuff in the keynote. But yeah, all the MagSafe stuff,
I know,
is going to be super interesting. Are you going to get one of those wallets, one of those little wallets that attach to the back of the phone?
Well, I'll definitely get them to review for AI. I don't know if I'll end up using one from them personally, because I'm pretty sure we're going to see 30,000 from every accessory maker under the sun.
Right,
with different
right.
styles, different functionalities, different materials. They're kind of expensive, $60 through Apple, but I love the idea. I really like the idea, because I've been using the Limitless 3.0 system on mouse cases before, which does have a magnetic wallet that you can just pull off and throw in a charger, and it's such a good idea. There's things I didn't like about it. Their wallet that they have is kind of plasticky. I also don't like the feel of their leather. It's kind of like this pebbled texture, which some people like that. Not my favorite type of leather. So I just think there could be a better designed wallet to kind of go with, and their cases are a little bit boxy for me. MagSafe just fixes all of those issues. It's similar to that, but built in. And I don't know how many people I did a video on this. Everyone can go look it up. But the little touches that Apple is doing with MagSafe, like the fact when you pop on an Apple MagSafe enabled case, like you have like that animation on your phone screen that matches the color of the case. Or when you put it into the leather sleeve, the clock will turn on and then it matches the background of the clock to the case. So it blends in.
Ridiculous.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome because, Apple's the only one that can really have that kind of tight integration with everything. So yeah, love that. As this episode airs, pre-orders for the iPhone 12 Pro regular has already passed.
Mm-hmm.
So Andrew, did you pre-order an iPhone 12 Pro for yourself, or will you wait for the Max?
No, I'm going for sure for the Max. Extra benefits as far as the camera stuff goes. So I'm going with the Max again. But I did order the Pro and the 12 just for, this is what we do. So I'll have videos up
sure.
for all of these guys, comparisons and performance tests and whatever else you need to know.
Yes.
So I got models ordered. They'll be here on launch day, I think. So kind of going that route.
Yeah, very cool. I also pre-ordered a 12, but I keep reading more and more about that camera, which we won't get into in super detail because this is the HomeKit show, but... that those camera sensor changes are pretty tempting. But anyway, this is HomeKit Insider, Andrew. So we should probably talk about the device that had the word home in it during Apple's keynote, which is the HomePod Mini. HomePod Mini was announced after it rumored $99, a spherical flat top speaker device. No new larger size HomePod. This is just a mini one. Let me ask you this first, Andrew. What do you think of the design of the HomePod Mini?
Okay, well, it leaked right before the keynote, and I spent the 30 minutes preceding the keynote kind of laughing at the look of it. Someone was like, oh, it looks like a home or an AirPod on its side, which I couldn't get out of my head. It literally looks like it.
I wish you would have never said that.
I know. I'm looking at it on our site right now, and I'm like, yep, that's an AirPod on its side. Just I photoshopped it on Twitter. Like, you can literally see it on my Twitter account. Because I had to Photoshop it together really quick. But
that's terrible.
I would have preferred, I think, a mini-shaped version of the existing HomePod. But I kind of assumed and was later confirmed during the keynote of why they went with that round shape. They can just get a larger driver there in the center, the woofer. And you see their breakdowns they do of what the internals look like. They do have that large downward-facing woofer right in the center. And had they gone with a more conical shape, you would not have been able to get that driver right there. You wouldn't have as much of a width, or it would be wider than it needed to be. Right. So they were able to keep it a little bit smaller this way, which is probably for the best.
Yeah, I think it looks interesting. You know, it's not an offensive design. What's curious is the screen on top. You know, the color for Siri when you invoke it. On the current HomePod, you kind of have that like color blob appear in the middle, mm-hmm. kind of like in between the plus and minus. And it looks like on the HomePod Mini, it's going to just envelop the entire top screen. So like the entire top is going to change color and be that cloudy Siri look. So that, I think, kind of looks cool. I don't know, you know, that I don't know how functional that is to actually have the Siri visual cue, but I do know sometimes, like in my bedroom, sometimes I'll talk to Siri and ask it to do different things. And if it's not super bright, I can actually see the color kind of on the ceiling. And it actually is a little useful to know, like, oh, it's actually listening now. So I don't know. I thought that was an interesting design. Again, looks interesting. It looks like a bowling ball with the head, you know, chopped off or something.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense for other aspects too, because this year we have features like intercom that we're going to talk about. And when that is broadcasting, at least on the existing HomePod, like the center turns green. So I'm expecting on a version like this, that whole top is going to turn green, and it may be a better visual indicator when an announcement is like about to come through.
So I want to talk about intercom a ton, but before we get to that, a couple differences between the HomePod Mini and the regular HomePod. Apple actually has a chart on their website with a little check mark showing which the difference is. I'll put this as the chapter artwork, so you could just see it right there in your podcast player. But the regular HomePod, which here in America is usually $299, you know, it has everything from spatial awareness, multi-room audio, stereo pair, all that. Two things that the HomePod Mini does not have at $99 here in the US is the spatial awareness capability, and it will not be able to do home cinema with Apple TV 4K. Now, the home cinema, as far as I know, we had not really heard about this coming to HomePod, as far as I know, but this is telling us that you can use one HomePod. Apple says it's better if you use two HomePods as a stereo pair, and they're actually going to enable Dolby Atmos virtual surround with two larger, the regular HomePod models. And the HomePod Mini will not be able to do that. It doesn't do the home cinema stuff because it doesn't have spatial awareness. And spatial awareness is, you know, if the HomePod is against a wall or there's something blocking part of the HomePod, like speaker array, that it will adjust how it's throwing the sound because it has that spatial awareness. And apparently, the HomePod Mini does not have that capability. Does that sound right to you? Does it like jive with what you've seen?
Yeah, basically it lines up. I think the other thing along with spatial awareness is the regular HomePod actually has an accelerometer on the inside. So it knows when you move it. So if you would ever adjust its position, right, it'll go ahead and retune itself to that new position. So there is a lot of computational audio going on with HomePod MIDI, where it's really like balancing the audio for what it can do. Right. But it doesn't have that accelerometer to know when it moves, and it's not going to be able to measure how that audio is bouncing off the walls and everything like that and adjust the drivers. It's just going to come out how it's going to come out, regardless of where it is placed.
So two more quick things before we get to the intercom. One, the HomePod Minis will automatically become a stereo pair if they're in close proximity, and you can create stereo pairs with a Mini. You cannot do a stereo pair with a regular HomePod and a HomePod Mini. You can't mix and match. So you either have to have two Minis or two regular HomePods to get a stereo pair. The HomePod Mini does act as a home hub, just as a point of information. So if you don't have a home hub already, Apple TV or HomePod, the HomePod Mini can act as that home hub. And one last feature that came out in tvOS 14.2 Beta 3, one of the latest betas, on the Apple TV 4K, you can set the HomePod as the default speaker output. For me, I actually use a HomePod in my bedroom as the speaker for my Apple TV, and most times it stays connected as the main speaker, but it would be nice to set it as default because there are some times where it gets knocked off and it goes back to the TV audio for whatever reason. So the pretty cool feature there.
Yeah, I think that, so one, I do not use my HomePod as my Apple TV speaker, not just because I have an actual dedicated soundbar. I use the Sonos Arc because it does have the Dolby Atmos and everything like that, and it works with AirPlay too. But the HomePod was like too bass heavy for dialogue for me, and it was kind of too thumpy. And especially if I was watching something late, even if the volume was down where I could barely hear the dialogue, my wife could still hear like the bass in the bedroom. So I ended up not using my Apple TV and HomePod together, but I know it is incredibly popular because I had a ton of people asking that question on various HomePod videos that we did. A lot of people kept asking, like, how do you set it as a speaker and how do you keep it as a speaker? Like, it was a frequently asked question. So I'm glad to see that they've actually made that a default pairing, and every time it'll stick to it. So from what I understand as well, once you set that as like the default option, if you try to like cast audio to your HomePod, I think, like over AirPlay 2, it'll basically still throw it up on your Apple TV and come through the HomePod because those are basically paired together. So I have to do a little more testing on that, but it's definitely an improvement for those who are using their HomePods with their Apple TVs. And man, I'm excited about the Atmos one. Apple's been obviously doing a ton with the spatial awareness with audio because we're seeing with the AirPods Pro.
Right.
So it's really neat to see that they're doing that with the HomePods. I'm very curious on how accurate it is, and I wish I could find like a cool Dolby Atmos demo other than just watching a bunch of movies and trying to pinpoint when kind of Atmos sound should be occurring.
Right. I'll be curious too if it will work with like 4, 5 or more HomePods, because with the stereo pair, Dolby Atmos would be a virtual surround experience. I'm curious if eventually, or even if this update comes, that you could do an actual 5-speaker surround with 5 HomePods. I don't think so, because as far as we know, we haven't seen anything.
Yeah, right now you cannot. You can only do 2.
But that'd be kind of cool if you could do like 2 behind you and 2 in front of you and get kind of an even more actual surround. But anyway, so one of the cool features that they announced, and I was actually excited about this because I know the Echo has this feature, and I think Google devices do as well, but intercom, meaning you can broadcast a message through all the HomePod speakers, like in your house, if you want to just send an audio message, like old school intercom. I don't know if you ever had a friend that like had a house with a built-in intercom where there's like a speaker on the wall and then there's speakers on other walls. I don't know. I always thought that was super fancy. So the intercom feature is going to be coming to basically all Apple devices. Andrew has an awesome video. I'll put a link in the show notes to the YouTube link and the article basically showing intercom working. If you're on the latest betas, you can actually do that. But Andrew, why don't you just give us kind of a quick overview of how it worked, and then, you know, I probably have a couple follow-up questions, but yeah.
Yeah, so it was very easy to get going. Right now, I was able to test it with my Apple Watch, my iPhone, and my current HomePod. It'll be coming to the new HomePod, of course. It'll also work with when you're in your car using CarPlay. It does not work on the Mac, oddly enough, but it doesn't work on the Mac. And it needs the new HomePod OS, like the HomePod OS or Audio OS, whatever you want to call it. But it's the 14.2 update for HomePod, which is likely, I'm going to guess, arrive with the HomePod Mini in November, like November 16th or something like that. That's what I'm guessing that's going to be released. And you need that update for it, as well as iOS 14.2, at least beta 3 on your device, or newer, or all of these just when they're, you know, officially released for everyone, probably mid-November. So 14.2 beta 3, it brought the new intercom functionality. Once you launch the Home app post-update, there was immediately a pop-up that said, intercom, it's a new feature, this is a high level of what it does. You can tap through the steps, which is the next option is to choose when you want notifications for your phone, because you can actually send an intercom message to people's devices. So you can turn those for never, when you're home, or anytime. So those are your three options. And then you can choose who in your home has access to Intercom. So these are people you've invited to use your home through the home app. So usually your family that you've already got there, you can toggle all of them on or off to use the Intercom feature. Once it is added, there's a new audio icon in the top right-hand corner of the home app. The plus button there to add scenes or accessories was relocated to the top left-hand corner. You can tap on that little audio waveform icon. It's going to open a little modal where you can record your Intercom broadcast and hit done, and it'll send it to your entire house. You don't have to do it just from the home app, though. It does work with Siri. So any place you're using Siri, so just anywhere on your phone, open up Siri, say Intercom. Siri will tell you to go on. Then you'll just say your message, and then it'll get broadcast throughout your house. And it actually is your voice coming out of like the HomePod. It turns green and your voice comes through. It's not like Siri reading right. A dictated message. It's actually your voice coming through. And then you can specify rooms as well. So if I was here in the studio, I could say, hey, Apple Assistant, Intercom Kitchen. And then she would say, go on. And I would say my message and it would pop out through the kitchen HomePod. So it's very easy to use. I can see people pulling into the driveway with their cars, pulling up Siri inside of CarPlay, saying, come help with the groceries. And all the speakers in the house go off saying, come help with the groceries. And kids can run outside to go help unload the car. Whatever it is. I feel like there's going to be a ton of uses for this. I'm a little offended that I just bought that new brilliant switch for the studio, which one of the features was for Intercom.
Wow.
That was one of the reasons that I bought that. And, you know, I installed it a couple weeks ago, and here's Apple with new Intercom feature. on the good side is I'm clearly buying HomePod minis. I'm clearly going to chuck a bunch of these throughout the house. I mean, $100. I'm in love with this thing. So I'll definitely be buying several HomePod minis. But I was a little like, are you kidding me? Now they come. This is a feature they should have had like at launch. And yet here we are years later, and it finally shows up. I'm glad it's here, but that's one of the reasons I bought that Brilliant Switch. I don't regret it because there's a bunch of other benefits to the Brilliant Switch, but there goes like, it kind of makes it more complicated. Now my wife needs to get a hold of me. What is she going to do? Is she going to use walkie-talkie? Is she going to send me a text? Going to Intercom through the HomePod or through her phone or her Apple Watch? Or is she going to use the Brilliant panel on the wall? I don't know, but it seems like too many ways to get a hold of me at this point.
So a couple of things I'm curious about. One, while you can give people access to the Intercom system who are in your home app, Apple did advertise during the keynote that people could reply. So let's say like your kid is in the room and you say, you know, broadcast, hey, come to dinner, that person can say, hey, Dingus, reply. All right, I'm on my way. So it seems like replies will be, you know, you can do replies without having to be in the home app family. Does that sound right?
You're in a weird area there because if you sent the message to them, they're in that in some way. I mean, whether or not you're just broadcasting to your whole house, like if you're the only one in there, all the HomePods and everything, you send that broadcast to 5 HomePod minis and you got a kiddo in there who's not in the home app, but that broadcast came through, of course they can reply. I think it's more of like they can't send their own messages, you know, using the home app or anything like that.
Right. They can't start a message. They can reply.
Yeah, I would think so. Because it's not gonna necessarily recognize that voice and be like, no, you can't reply.
Right. Then my next question is, I'm curious, and again, I'm not expecting you to have the answer because you're literally just playing with this for like a day. But I'm curious because the broadcast over the Intercom can go to devices like your iPhone and even your Apple Watch. So what I'm wondering is if I'm sitting at my desk, I got my iPhone here, my Apple Watch is on my wrist, and if I had a HomePod also on the desk, and someone sends an Intercom message, what does it choose to go through? Like, does it go through the HomePod by default? If I have AirPods in, will it go through AirPods and not the HomePod? That I'm a little curious about.
I think it would depend on where they send the message. If they're sending it to the whole home, I feel like it would be like an Intercom and kind of broadcast more or less through anything.
Right.
I don't know if Apple is doing some more Apple magic where it detects that you are nearby and does not come through your iPhone or your Apple Watch because it knows you're sitting next to a HomePod. I mean, it's got that U1 chip in there. It's able to identify that.
Right.
There's no need. I can come up through the speaker instead. But if they send it specifically to you, then it may come through your watch or your phone and not the HomePod because they're sending it to you directly.
Well, that'll be curious. Yeah, well, once it's everywhere, we'll see. Because this is coming to all the regular HomePods and all Apple devices, I think with 14.2, once that comes out. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but 14.2 is probably coming with the iPhone 12 launch. Like, they're probably coming with 14.2.
No, I think those are 14.1.
Oh, okay, 14.1.
Got yeah, it. Apple did seed the GM build of 14.1, which I'm guessing is what's going to launch with the new phones.
Gotcha.
Hence the reason Apple has not been seeding 14.1 to developers until now, because that contained all of the new iPhone 12 goodness in there. So Apple kept that kind of
right
out of developers' paws, and they've been seeding 14.2 with all those changes in there. And they'll have 14.1 out probably sometime next week before the phones launch.
Right.
And then, or this week, I guess, compared to when this is actually being released now.
Right, right.
But yeah, it'll probably be out this week. And then 14.2, I'm guessing, is going to be mid-November with the maybe the Pros, and or the Pro and the Pro Max and the Mini.
Right.
And the HomePod Mini.
And the AirPod Studio. No, just kidding. We don't know. We did not hear anything about those in this last event. So.
AirTags.
Or AirTags, or new Apple TV. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, we also didn't hear anything about the in-home tracking, which I didn't think we would, because even Prosser was like, don't be, like, if you see the U1 chip in there, that's basically the proof that this is coming down the line.
Right.
You're going to see a little bit about it, but they're not going to talk about that now. That'll be down in the future. I believe that. I can see them getting this into people's homes and then being like, oh, by the way, here's a software update that allows you to automate your stuff based on the rooms you're in and all that stuff using the U1 chip and all those fan fun stuff like that.
Yeah.
I can see that coming sometime next year, but
the only use case for the U1 chip during the keynote was like, yeah, if you're playing something on your phone and you hold your phone near the speaker, it'll move over. And it's like, I mean, come on. There's going to you're gonna do more than just that. I mean, you can just do that with AirPlay too.
I know, that's like the existing use of the U1 is when you're going to hand off or using AirDrop is to prioritize mm-hmm. devices that you're looking at. So very similar application to that. Yeah, there's clearly going to be more there. It's already helping with that kind of functionality, but they're talking about being able to track those objects. So it makes sense when AirTags possibly launch, because they could maybe triangulate the signal easier using dual U1 chips in both the HomePod and your phone, and the U1 chip in the AirTag that you're trying to find. And right. then, of course, down the line, track you throughout your house to unlock the door as you approach the door, or turn on lights as you enter the room, whatever it may be.
You know, I just Googled compare HomePod models, and Apple Insider article came up first. Just want to point that out.
Good.
There you go.
By the way, since we're pointing things out on Apple Insider, by the time this is out, this was kind of cool. I threw out a tweet of like, what kind of questions do you guys have about HomePod Mini? And I had so many responses. I don't know how many dozens of questions came in from all these people asking legitimately good questions that they had about HomePod or HomePod Mini. And I have spent an inordinate amount of time taking out like the good questions that make sense and getting answers to them.
Okay.
Everything from where this is launching to the updates and features and power and audio output, all these different things, and put them into this giant list. So that's on AI. We'll link it, of course, in the show notes. But if you asked a question on Twitter, it may have gotten answered, and we called you guys out in that article. So if you have any questions about HomePod Mini that we didn't cover in this, we might have covered it in that kind of massive Q&A we did.
Very cool. You know, I'm seeing now in one of the articles on AI, the HomePod Mini only has 802.11 and Wi-Fi, not AC or 6. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I hate when they do that. I don't want to talk about it, okay?
Okay, very good, very good. Well, anyway.
The Wi-Fi stuff, just how much of a pain is it? Like, I get maybe not Wi-Fi 6, but really not even AC. Like, really, you're going to do that to us? And then, of course, like, they're not going to update this thing in a year. It's going to be multiple years. We're going to be stuck with a stupid 802.11n, and there's no Ethernet option either. You can't hardwire this thing. So
Right.
It's just going to be there in your home for years.
That's well, it goes on sale November 6th. You can pre-order it. And then it's available starting November 16th. I imagine that's probably when it'll ship or deliver and also be available in stores to check out. So November 6th, you could pre-order the HomePod Mini unless Andrew pre-orders all of them. And then there's none left for you.
That's right. I'm going to order all of them.
Literally all of them. Literally all of them.
I'm glad I waited, though. I was really about to buy another HomePod. And this is a weird thing, too, since we're talking HomePods. I got a HomePod here without a power cable, and I'm not sure I can get a replacement.
Wait. Did it break?
Long story. It's one of Apple insiders here that we use, and it got sent to me, and there's no power cable. And I'm trying to figure out how to get a replacement, and there's no... You can't buy it.
I might need you to send me a picture of this, because the cable is like...
No, it pops out.
Oh, it does pop out.
Yeah, you need some force, but it pops out.
But it's connected when you take it out of the box, isn't it?
Yes.
Interesting. So it's not like it tore off or broke off. It popped out.
Correct.
That's probably not for sale on Apple's website.
No.
That's weird.
I know. And I don't know what to do, because I got a $300 HomePod or $200 HomePod sitting here that I need to... I mean, I have more HomePod. I want to have like other ones throughout my house, but I don't want to move them. I like them where they are. And I'm going to need to do more HomePod comparisons here, audio, and I got to test the Apple TV stuff and things like that. And I'm like, I wish this HomePod was working and functional, and I don't have a power cable for it. And I'm like, how do I get a power cable? And it's really annoying.
Well, I found one link on Reddit just now, and it's already sold out. But they did sell the cable for like €7. Now, this other article, this is from Mac Rumors, says that they will repair a HomePod power cable, probably in store, for $29. So you might be able to buy one.
Do I have to set up a Genius Bar appointment? Because like, I saw stuff like that too. Like, do I need to set up a Genius Bar appointment and then explain, like, what do I even say? Like, well, why isn't it in your HomePod anymore? I'm like,
I lost it.
I don't know. Someone sent it to me, and then they're like, well, it's not yours.
Just tell them you have an inordinate amount of animals in your house. You were trying to move the HomePod from one place to another, and some dog grabbed it. And then it disappeared.
And what, ripped it out and disappeared and doesn't exist anymore?
That's right. All your dogs run outside in the backyard. You know, it's gone.
How did it come out of the HomePod? It required a lot of force.
Like more than like a dog just trying to pull it out?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I kind of want to try it now. I'm not going to.
Don't try it. I don't.
But if you pull it out, can you put it back in?
Yeah.
Okay, listeners at home, don't try this at home. Don't try to pull your
HomePod. I swear, if I get an email from you people saying... So I tried myself to see if I could pull it. Now it's broken. I don't want it.
I do kind of want to see some tweets from people with a picture of the power cable pulled out. But no, don't do it. Don't do it. All right. So moving on from the HomePod Mini, real quick, we've talked about the Akara G2H Cam before. Andrew and I both have one, and we've kind of reviewed it already. But it is finally available to buy on Amazon. And the friends at Akara have a special deal for you HomeKit Insider listeners. You can use a promo code. I'll put the promo code in show notes. I'll also read it dramatically right now on the air, but you might not remember it. It is this. 25AQAG2HAIN. That is the promo code. It probably stands for 25% off Akara, AQA, G2H, the model of the camera, and then AIN for Apple Insider Network.
We can go with that.
Yeah, we can go with that. Anyway, the promo code will be in show notes. You can get 25% off, and that promo code is good between October 19th, as you're listening to this, through October 23rd. So if you listen to HomeKit Insider, the day it comes out, as you should, the way it's intended to be listened to, you can get 25% off the Akara G2H camera Monday through Friday this week with that promo code 25AQAG2HAIN. Actually, it's not that hard to remember now that I've kind of broken it down like that. But anyway, I'll put the link in show notes. Nanoleaf, which has these like cool HomeKit wall-shaped lights, had some announcements today. So Andrew, why don't you tell us, what did they announce?
Yeah, we've got new shapes from Nanoleaf. So if you've been paying attention for a while, they're all over the place. They started with their triangular shapes, and they called it like the Aurora, I think, Aurora, some version of that, and they were very popular, and then they came out with, like, new versions, like the rhythm connector that would, like, sync them to music, and they were just, like, in the backgrounds of all these videos online. I've had them in backgrounds of my shots for a while, and I'm currently trying to figure out where to put my octagon-shaped ones here in the studio, and as I'm kind of doing that, I'm like, oh, look at this press release for Nanoleaf launching new triangles and mini triangles. They're using their new Kinect Plus connector pieces that allow you to connect multiple shapes together for the first time. So you can have like the, or hexagons, not octagons, but hexagons, the large triangles, and the new small triangles all in your same piece. And they look really cool. The new little triangles are itty bitty. And the new bigger triangles are similar to their original ones that were just renamed like their smart light panels. So a whole new lineup of lights from these guys. Yes, they are HomeKit controllable. You can set them to scenes that you create. So if you have a scene of multiple colors throughout this, so each of the different panels are multiple colors, you can create that as a HomeKit scene and invoke those scenes using any automations that you want, or you can change the color of the entire thing, the brightness, all of that through HomeKit too. I've literally used these since like the first one was launched, and I'm very excited about these new ones because it just makes it way cooler to create awesome patterns with on the wall.
Very cool. And it's all HomeKit. You could do all of there.
Absolutely.
That is very cool. All right. Well, we'll put a link in show notes to the YouTube video where they were announcing everything, and to their website where you can get some Nanoleaf stuff. All right, let's round out the show with some listener questions and feedback. After my tale of the water leak sensor from Akara, which the leak sensor is still not reset yet, but I haven't done what this listener, Noah, I'm going to try and say this last name, I'm probably not going to get it right, but Nienstit? Noah, who listens to HomeKit Insider, he said that he had a similar experience where a tub door came open, a bunch of water came in, and water leak sensors went off. To reset it, he pulled the battery from the water leak sensor and said it resets itself to normal after that. So I'm going to try and pull the battery from my Akara water leak sensor, and I will follow up next HomeKit Insider to let you know if that fixes the water leak alert mode that it's in currently right now. It's still yelling at me as we speak. And then finally, we had another question from Troy Moore. He was asking about security systems, and we have talked about like alarm systems and security systems in the past, but I thought it might be good to cover it one more time, some of the options that you have as a listener. But we've talked about Abode and how they kind of have an on-demand security system where you can pay for just a couple days of alerting features, or you can pay for a long time or just ongoing. And also the Akara alarm system, which I can now attest to, the Akara hub is very loud and sounds like an alarm security system. But maybe, Andrew, you could reiterate some of the things that you've recommended to people in the past.
Typically, when someone's looking for a HomeKit alarm system, I point them towards the Abode one. I really like it. I love. So the biggest difference between the Abode one, the Abode IOTA, and the Akara one is the Abode actually has the camera integrated into the hub itself. So you have a full-on HomeKit camera there, as well as the hub for your alarm system. The Akara, it has the speaker, it acts as a hub for all the different connections, and then it has a light on there. So with your Akara one, you walk in, or somebody, some ne'er-do-well walks into your house, trips off the alarm, it can like turn on the red light, blare the siren, and you'll get an alert on your phone through HomeKit that someone is in your home. The Abode one, very similar. All of that can basically do the same thing. They come in, they trip a motion sensor or a contact sensor, something like that. The alarm goes off, you'll get a HomeKit notification, the alarm is going off in your house, all good. The difference, I would say, is the Abode, when you have that camera, so you can actually jump in, view what's going on if you don't have any other HomeKit cameras around. But as you mentioned, the Abode has the ability to do actual professional monitoring. Whether or not that's a good thing or bad thing is up to you guys if you want professional monitoring or you just want to go through HomeKit and rely on you. Personally, I don't need the professional monitoring on a daily basis. If I'm going out or something like that, I have my phone, my watch with me enough. I don't need the professional monitoring to kind of give me any additional peace of mind. I can see what's going on. I can call the 911s just as fast as they could. Maybe. I don't know. With the professional monitoring when I'm away for like a vacation or something, that's a different matter. I may be scuba diving or doing something where I can't get to my phone on that vacation. I'm also nowhere near. I'm not just 20 minutes away at a store. I am, you know, plane ride away and cannot get anywhere near the house. So in those situations, the professional monitoring gives me a little bit more peace of mind. So HomeKit is good pretty much all the time, but there's rare times where I kind of want that option. And Abode actually has that ability for, there's like a 3-day plan, the tiny little almost day-by-day plans that you can pick up for professional monitoring. So if you were ever going out of town, get professional monitoring for the 3 days or a week or whatever it is, and pay that small price and have that additional peace of mind that someone is specifically looking after your house. That's what I like. I like that you don't need it. You can turn it, you can enable it and disable it anytime you want. But I like that it is an option. And I like that the camera's in there too. So if you want the camera and that option for professional monitoring, Abode is pretty great. And they have a ton of different sensors. They have all different types of contact sensors and motion sensors, and they have a keypad, they have a little remote. So if I'm in a different room, I can like hit this remote to arm and disarm the house. Very cool. So Abode, I think, has a lot of benefits. I think it's the more polished system with the professional monitoring and the camera and all those types of things. Akara is your kind of entry level. I want HomeKit. I want it to be solid. That's what I would go with if you're looking for good HomeKit only option.
Gotcha. Well, I will put links in show notes to Abode and the Akara system. Links to everything we talked about, including HomePod Mini, Andrew's video about intercom. Check all of that out. You can go to appleinsider.com/podcast. You can see the post there, or you could just check the show notes in the podcast player you're listening to right now. Don't forget to ask us questions. If you have questions about HomePod, HomePod Mini, or any HomeKit related items, you can tweet with the hashtag HomeKitInsider. Mention Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes, and we'd love to answer those questions on the air. And if you haven't yet, be one of the many who has given us a 6, 7, and 8-star review in Apple Podcasts for the show. We appreciate everyone who does that. You can rate and review us there. 5 stars in Apple Podcasts. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.